So.
All right. So we are officially recording our Comics Weekly.
Oh, good.
Hey, everybody. It's another episode. I guess the first episode of 2011, huh?
Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
And right out of the gate, one of us has failed. Chris is not here, not answering his phone, not answering his texts.
Someone's in the shower.
You think so?
Or dead asleep.
Well, let's introduce ourselves, and then we'll see who's here. I'm Scott Kurtz. You might know me as that a-hole from the internet. You might also know me as the guy that does PvP at pvponline.com.
End of Blamimations.
Oh, that's true. I do the Blamimations. All right. But enough about me. One of you say something. What the Christ?
I've been playing Wayne Fred. All right, I'll go. Well, my name is David Kellett. You might know me from Sheldon and Sheldon Comics. And bam, just launched yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever, the new drive site, drivecomic.com. I'm so glad to have that monkey off my back.
Congratulations. The site looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm happy. You know,
guys. Yeah, it really does look slick, man.
You guys know what it's like to launch a website, too. It's just there's so many hassles that no one knows about in the 2 weeks before you launch it. And it's just nice to get it up. So it's good.
I agree. It is nice to get it up. My name is Brad Geiger. I do a
Brad. Monster.
Brad.
And I. That seems to be a recurring theme in my life, the monster part. I want to make sure I clarify it. My name is Brad Geiger, and I do a comic called Evil Incorporated at evil-comic.com, and I also am the editor of webcomics.com.
Very nice. Brad, that comment, though, we now lost all our Amish listeners, our sensitive listeners.
All those Amish podcast listeners.
Yeah, they were excited to give technology a try, and they're like, well, I'll do – oh, an erection joke. I'm out. I'm out.
Oh, the English. They've done it again.
Ezekiel, turn that off. Put that iPad down.
Jeez. So we're just going to go ahead without Chris and then slow clap when he comes in. But was our decision. But – so, happy 2011, guys.
Yeah. Same to you.
And we have an amazing year of web comicry ahead of us.
Well,
and new opportunities.
Not that we need to get into resolutions and all that, but are you guys broadly, are you excited? Are you tepid? Are you not excited about 2011?
No, I'm super pumped. Like, yeah. I'm on fire about it.
Good. All right. Brad, how about you?
Same here. 2010 ended real strong. 2011 looks incredibly good. So I'm very excited about starting the new year.
Good. That makes me happy.
I mean, 2010 for me was full of a lot of, not uncertainty, but just displacement, you know?
Well, you had a lot of life changes in 2010.
Yeah. It just feels good to be like, we're back in our routine. And it's just so important.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the first year I've actually set up things and right out the bat have done it. Like, I have a new weekly schedule where Mondays I write, Monday I write, do admin stuff. Tuesday is just draw PvP. Draw. Mm-hmm. Wednesday is work on the trenches. Thursday is special projects. And Friday is spillover. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. So you're breaking it up by task.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure that eventually stuff will start getting moved around to outside of the days that I assign. But for the most part, like, if it's a Monday, I know what I should be working on.
God, that's interesting. All right. So what made you change to that kind of system? Because, you know,
I'm super paranoid about the trenches because I'm working on a second strip. Dave, you can probably relate to this, but like, it's not even a one-day-a-week strip. It's not like Saturdays. It's going to be 3 days a week, the trenches. And I have help. I'm not doing all of it. But I'm doing a big portion of the art. And so my fear is that I'm either going to drop the ball in the trenches, which I do not want to do, or I'm going to drop the ball somewhere else. Something else is going to fall through the cracks. And I'm tired of this whole thing with me where I realize a week late that I did something wrong. Like, shit, I really should have shipped these here. Or, well, it looks like I didn't prepare for this con. Now I got to rush this shipment.
Right.
You know, it's always the week after I realize what I should have done. So, and that happens when stuff just starts falling through the cracks. So I'm like, look, I need to really know. The problem is in the morning, it's like, God, there's so much to do. What should I work on? And then you just sit there.
Yeah, because you're paralyzed, by the mountain.
So I just listed out everything that I am going to be working on this year, and it's a lot. I mean, it's PvP, it's the trenches, it's the blams, and then there's all these side projects like the new website and preparing the new store and making T-shirts and keeping that on a schedule. I want a new T-shirt out or something new out every month, mm-hmm. you know, something to keep the store fresh. And I have all these things that I want to be important to the new year.
Right.
And so I just went, all right, Monday's writing and emails and admin and making phone calls and business calls, you know?
Right.
And then if someone's like, can we schedule a meeting? And I'm like, yeah, Monday.
That's right, because you don't even have to think about it.
It really frees you up. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. Because I'm really changing around my schedule this year, and I really respect that thought.
Yeah, we'll see. Because yesterday I got screwed up, and today is supposed to be trenches day, but I'm having to work on more PvP stuff. Right. But like I have some stuff with my store that I need to work on, and I'd love to work on it today. I'm excited about it. And I think normally I would break down and start dicking around with it, but I'm not today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to finish PvP, and tomorrow we'll be working on the store. Hold on a second.
Brad, do you tend to work strip by strip, or do you do all your writing one day of the week and all your drawing one day of the week? How do you work?
I do a real similar thing to what Scott's talking about. In fact, I had planned – I've got a project that I'm going to start hopefully once I get caught up from my post-week or my post-holiday slump of not being able to get a lot of work done. But I generally write on Monday and Tuesday. I try to be penciling by Wednesday, and like Wednesday I'll take another look at the writing to see if maybe I can't punch something up. By Thursday I try to have all of my penciling done, and then Friday is just inking. And like the first part of the day, like while I'm waking up and stuff, the first 2 hours of every day I reserve for, you know, what Scott refers to as admin stuff, stuff for webcomics.com, writing pieces and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, I kind of have the same kind of separation going.
Yeah. God, I don't. Maybe you guys are on the right path. Because the only thing that I've calendared out is I calendared out my year where I'm like, all right, I'm gonna start working on the next book here. I need to have a T-shirt within this 3 week period of this month. I need to do prep for this con by this week. So I've got that calendared out for the year, and that makes me feel good. But I don't. My day-to-day stuff is still sort of higgledy-piggledy, and I don't like that. So maybe
the nice thing about it is what it opens you up for is streaks. Like you get into a real inking jag, for example, and all of a sudden you get into this zone where you can do no wrong inking, and you just go, you know, ride it out for as long as you can, or you hit a real, real good writing spot. And just everything is flowing real nicely, and by dividing up like that, you open yourself up, I think, for a lot more of that.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing too is that if like Scott was saying, if you're consistently inking on, say, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday, it's very easy to set up and say like, all right, I'm you streaming for the next 5 hours, me drawing. Come by anytime. You know, that sort
right.
of thing.
Well, I think you kind of train your brain too. It's like when I or at least I hope that's the case, because what I like to think is like on Mondays and Tuesdays, my brain is wired to, okay, this is when we write. You know, this is, I've got to be using this part of my mind and then go on from there, you know, to draw penciling. And that takes a certain set of skills.
Right.
And so on and so forth.
Well, all right. Call me convinced, gentlemen. I'm going to think about that.
Yeah, give it a shot. I'm curious to see how it works out for you, because, I mean, I'm frankly curious to see how it works out for me.
Well, you know what? I'm trying to get into a bigger lifestyle change, and I know you guys will appreciate this, because I have – so the instant feedback of webcomics has become like a drug to me. Like, I used to have a month buffer, right, and lost it, as we all do for various reasons. But so this year I was like, you know what? No, I'm getting my buffer back. I want to have like a 2 or 3 week buffer at least. So But the fear on my part is like, well, what if one comic really hits and I know that I can, not to say that I go back to the well, but some themes you're like, well, all right, I'll do a couple more on that. That did pretty well.
Right.
Or oh, hey, you know what? Here's a joke that I didn't even think of that I could insert onto that one. Like, if you have 2 or 3 weeks ahead, it just kind of becomes a logistical nightmare if you insert a strip and then you have to bump everything back in the queue kind of thing.
Or it's so, ham-handed to say, hey, remember that strip I did at the beginning of the month about the Klingons who were librarians? Well, what would happen if you walked into that particular library? Go back with me to that time.
Yeah, let's step back, shall we? It'll look a little something like this.
It's ham-handed.
Basically, I'm trying to break myself of that habit of having that drug of the instant feedback, and I know I want to do it, but it's interesting that it's hard now to do.
Yeah.
Intentionally walk away from that.
The thing is, like, and I know I've talked about this with Chris, who, God, if only he was here. but the thing about when I work ahead, because I've had a buffer too. One point, it's like. To use the old standby of Webcomics Weekly, it's like losing your way to Narnia. Never finding your way back.
Right, right.
You keep opening wardrobes and going, you know, nope, fuck, just a wardrobe. Okay.
Like, another witch.
Yeah. Bull. But like, I lose track of what's happening. Like, I'll work ahead. And then you feel like you've lost this connection. Like someone will come up and say, really funny strip today. And you're like, was it? What was the strip? What did I write about?
Yeah.
I'm at?
Constantly.
And then you go, wait a minute. What, did I skip one? What's happening? You know, like, did one get missed? And then you panic. That happens to me all the time when there's a buffer. I feel really disconnected.
Right.
But
yeah,
I wonder
like,
if that.
You'll be like, I thought I did a joke about a washing machine. And you're like, wasn't there one that was between these two? No, I guess I didn't do that one. You know, like that kind of stuff. You're right.
I wonder if that's false.
Well, and try this on for size. I've got to have a buffer because I send my comics to Ed Rezowski, who colors them. So I've got to be a little bit ahead so he's got time to work. Plus, the comics that go into newspapers are on a different schedule because I started them from the beginning. And it was a year into Greystone Inn when I started doing that. So those are on a different schedule. Another newspaper picked it up and runs it a week at a time in one day. So they're on another schedule. And there's going to be a project coming up that's going to be on yet another schedule I hope to announce soon. So at any one time, I could have somebody who says, I like the strip today, could be talking of maybe 3 or 4 different strips.
Oof.
This feels like the beginning of an infomercial. If I don't have a buffer, I can easily get behind on my work. But when I do have a buffer, I feel disconnected. There's got to be a better way.
It's like the perfect cue for Chris to walk in. There is.
There is. Now with no, I don't give a shit.
Now with my new product, quitting your webcomic, you'll love the way it, you know.
Just apply don't give a shit to any webcomic you draw.
Right, right. Yeah. You'll love my new product, Phone It In. Yes, phone it in.
Speaking of phoning it in, I have done the impossible.
What have you done?
I have trumped the web versus print debate at dailycartoonist.com. Web versus print? What a passé topic.
Yeah.
No longer will that satiate the drama appetites of the Daily Cartoonist, for I have stumbled upon a much greater question than web versus print.
Okay, go ahead.
What be this question you speak of?
And that is, what is a cartoonist? Because I had the audacity... I had the brass balls to state that someone who's been recently written up in The Economist is not a cartoonist. And it has sparked, dare I say, it's been a little bit of a cock up. A real bucket of syrup. To the point where I'm getting emails from Wiley Miller going, woof. Good luck. No joke.
Is that what this is all about? Oh, I've got to go.
Hold on, let me read through this.
Let me give you a little story, Brad. Okay.
Oh, okay, I'm with you.
Imagine a man who, in 2003, with two co-founders, made a search marketing firm, and they named it SEOmoz.org.
Mm-hmm.
And they developed search engine optimization tools. Okay.
Okay.
For websites, because you see. One of the common ways that Google ranks sites and search results is by counting how many sites link to it. So it's not how much traffic you get necessarily. It's how many pages link to it. It's called site juice. That's not a joke.
It's a popularity contest in a way.
Yeah, but like Google measures your Google rank. It's called your site has juice.
Right.
And it's a number of – it's what's linking to your site. It's how many pages link to your site is determines what is – so when you type in poop and you see the top result for poop, that doesn't mean it's the most – necessarily the most – well, I guess technically it's the most popular. It has the most pages linking to it for that keyword. So if you could optimize your website to have people link to you based on that keyword
– mm-hmm.
You can get at the top of the ranks in Google. So, if, for example, if I wanted to make sure that when someone types in webcomics, webcomics.com is the top one, we need to not just improve our traffic. We need people to link to us using the keyword webcomics.
Right.
Right? So, like, if someone says, good resources on webcomics here, that now that keyword's in there. So, for instance, let's say Google's bots are scouring the internet for the term free online dating, and they see that thousands of sites are mentioning free online dating, and they link to a phrase like, let's say, mingle2.com. Now mingle2.com's ranking is right up there for free online dating. But how do you get more web pages to link to yours and have those links anchored to the right term? Well, it's real simple, Brad. You create a quiz. Like, you know, how many Chuck Norrises could you beat up? Okay. And someone's like, I got to take that quiz. I need to know how many Chuck Norrises I can beat up. So they take the quiz, and at the end it says, you can beat up 12 Chuck Norrises. Here's a badge. Put it on your website.
Your Facebook page.
Or your Facebook page, or your twits, your tweets, your twats.
Your LinkedIn.
And then you tell all
is
your
that,
friends.
So I keep seeing those stupid quizzes and I never take them. And the few times I have, you get a badge. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this? And you leave. Oh, but there are people that put those badges
up. Don't worry, dude, because there's no possible way that badge bragging about how many Justin Biebers you could kiss. There's no way that secretly has a keyword link to mingle2.com in it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No possible way. No way would Google get pissed at that and knock your website off of the web, off their ranking system for cheating. Oh, but it is possible, and it was done by this guy, Inman, who does the comic The Oatmeal.
Or is it a comic?
So if you go to this guy Inman, what's his name?
Matt Inman does.
Matt Inman. He lives here in Seattle. Not only that, but he makes the comic maybe a block and a half from where I'm sitting right now. He makes it up at Fremont Coffee.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a potential he could punch me today if he really wanted to. But
I can see the next list now. How many Scott Kurtzes can I punch
out?
This guy Matt Inman.
Yeah, how many donuts can Scott Kurtz eat? So this guy Matt Inman, he created SEOmoz.org with his friends, and he's all about keywords and quizzes. And then he had this website called Mingle 2, and he had all these online quizzes that not secretly, but embedded links and keywords, so that when you posted, your results for the quiz, you know, how many people have you slept with? And it's like, I've slept with too many people. It links to their site. And Google knocked his dick in the dirt and said, no, we're taking Mingle 2 off of our ranking system. You cheated.
Mm-hmm. Wait, knocked his what in the what? I've never heard that phrase.
Oh, that's one of my dad's favorite. Knocked his dick in the dirt.
That involves such logistical gymnastics. I love you.
Yeah. And physical,
it's like,
gymnastics.
What did you say to me? I said I don't like your wife's cooking. Take out your dick. I am knocking that thing in the dirt.
Hold on. No. Scott, step outside with me. It's too clean in here. Hold on.
So after this debacle, Inman decided he wanted to run a website that would make it on its own merits. But instead, he made the oatmeal in 2009, which is...
I love the way you're doing this start. This is great.
It's just like if you go to the oatmeal, it's a bunch of quizzes. There's a lot of quizzes. There's a lot of lists, like 10 reasons bacon's more important than true love. And yeah, he's got cartoons on it that he draws with a mouse. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's super successful. Like, he made, according to this article, he made $500,000 last year.
Yeah, I believe it.
And Andrews McMeel is collecting his lists and posters in a book. And I'm like, that's awesome. That is amazing. More power to him. He lives real close to me. I should go shake his hand and pat him on the back. But he's not a cartoonist. Mm-hmm. Can we please define it a little bit? I've worked really hard at this. I would like the term to mean something.
So amongst the frame of that excellent introduction, of which I did not know the beginning part, I actually would disagree with you on the idea that that the product of the oatmeal is not comics. Really? And I say this, well, I should preface this by saying that I respect your opinion about comics and cartooning like few others. So don't think anything less of my opinion of you on this.
No, I don't. I'm ready. Listen, I'm willing to accept that I have headed fucking headfirst into Curmudgeonville. And I am in so deep that there's no way to pull me out of this pile of mud.
Well, I will – but listen, I will grant you that anything else that – I mean, this stuff with the quizzes and the SEO stuff, that we could both agree is just tools, however legit
or
not
legit. Well, and the quizzes and stuff is the worst kind of internet static.
Right.
Right. You know, one of his quizzes is how many Justin Biebers could you beat up?
I could beat up a lot, I think. But anyway, so you could argue, essentially, that even Webcomics Weekly or anything else that we do is essentially our attempt to raise our link juice, right? I mean, it's all non-comic-y ways to raise our link juice.
Absolutely.
So in that, we can't necessarily fault him, even though some of that is pretty gray area as far as, you know, tweaking Google's algorithms. But the stuff on his site that are comics – are comics. I mean, those are...
No. He does draw comics. Like, he's got one comic about cat versus internet, and it's all about how the cat is trying to get his owner to pay attention to him. That's a comic.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I haven't been there in a while, but I remember there were a couple ones that I thought were pretty funny. Then there were comic comics. I mean, they weren't... they're different than what you or I would draw, and in the same way that... I mean, the thing is, comics run the gamut. You or I or Brad would not draw like James Thurber, yet he was one of the best New Yorker cartoonists that ever lived. You know, we wouldn't draw like Callahan, but no. He was really good. We wouldn't draw like Dilbert, but Scott Adams has a huge comics audience. We wouldn't draw like Kathy, but she had a huge comic. I mean, like, it's a weird art form.
I guess for me, it's not even about the art. Like, because I have come around on XKCD.
Okay, how so? This is a good topic to tuck in.
Well, okay, because, like, I was, like, it's almost like Matt Inman made me go, oh, okay, XKCD is for sure a comic. Maybe I understand a little bit better now.
You have a new boogeyman. I like this.
Well, look, let me preface this, now that we're an hour into this discussion, by saying that I 100% could be wrong. Like, I am very likely talking right out of my asshole. But I'm talking out loud. I'm working it out. I'm working out the problem.
Listen. I mean, here's the angle you're coming from.
But let me.
You love this art form, and you want it. You want it held to standards and held.
It's not even that. Like, you know, like dinosaur comics, right?
Right.
Like, I came around a long time ago on dinosaur comics. I mean, it's clip art. It's the same thing over and over. But I think what I'm starting to realize is that I mean, comics are. If you're gonna define it, comics are stories or ideas told with words and pictures. So pretty much anything's a comic, right?
Right.
Graffiti's a comic. There's this one stretch of road on the way to work, and there's this it's in a residential area, and it's a bunch of houses up against this kind of cobblestone wall, the sidewalk has a cobblestone wall and then the houses. And some people have written graffiti on the big rocks. Because, I mean, these big giant rocks that make up this embankment wall are great to graffiti on. And most of them are just tags, like some logo that represents whatever, you know, stupid, I guess, West Side Story spray can gang they belong to.
But someone
wrote, one day I'm driving by and someone has written Bear Snatch on one of the rocks. And I was like, all right, that's art. Like, that got me. Someone just wrote Bear Snatch. Like, because we're in Washington. It's like, look, I want it to be local. I want it to be political. I don't want to just write Snatch.
It's got to speak to the Northwest. It's
Bear Snatch. It just killed me.
Oh, B-E-A-R.
Yeah, oh, okay. Not bear. See, that's how deep that joke is. There's double.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's ironic.
There's an 18-year-old spray paint artist somewhere going, I'm touching lives.
I did it. I made a difference.
I'm changing the world.
But nobody believed in Bear Snatch.
So I think more important than even art is a unique worldview. And that, I think, is what to me, more than art, defines a cartoonist. You're telling stories and conveying ideas in words and pictures, but like, I think I can respect Randall Munroe's worldview. Or, you know, I can respect that he has a worldview.
Right.
You know, and he's consistent with it, and he works to improve it. Ryan North, too. Mm-hmm. Perry Bible Fellowship as well. And Perry Bible Fellowship has outstanding art. But look at Akewood. And I think Akewood's art is not bad, but it's pretty simplified. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But he has a unique voice and a really unique worldview. And it just feels to me like Matt Inman's worldview is, I bet if I make a bunch of pandering bullshit, I can make a shit ton of money. Well, that worked. And to that I say, kudos. Buy me a coffee, because you made $500,000 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to improve my art like a sap. But do I have to call him a cartoonist? For the love of Christ. Part of me is just pissed off about that.
Well, okay. Listen, as a fellow curmudgeon, I respect where you're coming from.
But listen to this. This is from the Seattle Weekly interview, or the Seattle Weekly article about Inman, okay? On the keyboard, Inman is like Neo or the One. By the way, same person, article writer. Neo is the One, you douche. On the keyboard, Inman is like Neo or the One. He knows all the Adobe shortcuts by heart and never touches a menu. Wow, what? Who gives a shit? He should learn the menus. His keyboard flying across
the board. You know what's
funny?
He knows all the file drop down without even opening his eyes.
Yeah. His fingers
never
flying across
to a menu.
His fingers flying across the board and commanding the program as easily as an artist dragging a pen across a pad. Yeah, or maybe he could just be an artist, you know. This is Inman's job. He isn't a writer cartoonist or a barista cartoonist or a house painter cartoonist. He's not even a freelance computer geek cartoonist. He stopped doing that work a year ago. Now at 28, he draws, does he, comics, posts them to his website and sells merch and turns a serious profit. He often works from home or occasionally stations himself here at Cafe Laredo across the street, or Cafe Lardo. Ladro. I'll eventually get the name of that coffee place right.
But. I like Cafe Lardo. That sounds like a good marketing name.
Cafe Lardo. But I mean, like, here.
Well, so wait. I want to get to the crux of it, though. So what's the beef, then? Is it the drawing? Is it the marketing approach? Is it the final result of what he draws, quote unquote? Like, let's get to the heart of it. What bugs you about it?
Whatever you do, don't call what Inman does a business. The word is offensive to the man who creates comics like How to Name an Abortion Clinic. I want to shoot the writer of this article in the head with a gun full of porcupines. What the fuck? Whatever you do, don't call what Inman does a business. That's all he does. He doesn't give a shit about cartooning. He didn't grow up wanting to be a cartoonist. He made search engine optimizations. He's trying to earn money off the net. And he found a way to do it. And now he's got to cloak it because Google knocked his dick in the dirt once for it.
Again with that phrase.
I'm going to keep using it. It's really, it's striking gold for me this episode.
All right.
But then, and that the fact that he gets offensive if he called a business really is telling.
Well, that's just, who knows? That's just grist for the mill. And
sure, it could be hyperbole by this amazing article writer who doesn't know that Neo is the one. You know what? I'll mention The Matrix and that other movie about the one, and then I'll seem hip. Same movie, Phil. No, I think there are two movies. I think the one was in Tron, and then Neo was in The Matrix.
Well, listen, okay, so let's get to the brass tacks of it. So you and I and Brad would agree, it's a business. Obviously, it's a business. He wouldn't be doing it in a business. But what we do is also a business. I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong there. Whether or not he chooses to acknowledge that, that's just silliness, but we all can acknowledge it's a business. Whether it's more of a business or for him an artistic endeavor, there's no way for you to know that genuinely. I mean,
but he says it right here in the article, my friend.
Well, keep going then. All right.
Hold on a second. I will read it to you. This is like a 5-page article that this patchouli-smelling hippie at the Seattle Weekly wrote. Oh, God. That is awesome. I'm so angry and bitter. I love it. I am the new Wiley Miller. Just name me Wiley, and I am now the man I'm the dinosaur, and this new kid's coming with his fucking newfangled lists. And you're not a cartoonist. You're not making T-shirts.
Okay.
I don't see you selling one T-shirt.
Can I jump in here for a moment?
I haven't seen a single and ask Star what Wars I joke. Think.
Go is, ahead, because I'm going to find this one. I'm going to find this one. This one line
okay,
from this
well,
article.
This is a question for you, though.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's a hypothetical.
Sure.
If I took the Oatmeal comics and put them on a completely different website and separated them 100% from the quizzes, would that be better in your estimation?
I don't have a problem with. Okay. I mean, let me think about that.
Because what I'm hearing here is that you're more bothered by the SEO optimization quizzes than you are the comics, and that somehow those quizzes are tarnishing
the thing
his work
is like,
as a
look,
comic artist. Go ahead.
The problem is that if Seattle Weekly was like, look at this Seattleite that's really made a business out of making quizzes and making funny little lists and he's really making the best out of social networking, and isn't this interesting? I'd be like, yeah, it is. That's super smart. But what they're saying is, look at this cartoonist, and that pisses me off because he's not.
Why is he not a cartoonist?
Because I don't think he cares about cartooning. I think he cares about making money on the internet. He's just using cartooning to do it. In the same sense that the guy at MetLife that said, you know what, we should have Snoopy advertise this insurance is not a fucking cartoonist.
All right, well, Scott, here's a question for you, Scotty. Are you
like making Brad laugh? It makes me feel good.
Scotty,
and I'm cursing
like a
sailor today.
Oh,
Scotty,
God.
Would you consider yourself an animator?
Am I an animator?
Yeah.
No, I don't know the first thing about animating.
But
I've never animated in my life.
But you produce animations in
No, sir. I call them blamimations for a reason.
Oh, but that's a copy.
They're static images.
Dave's going down a interesting road. Now you can't cop out like that. Blamimations are animated content.
Yeah, there's no art. You call them what you will. Those are animations. And
all right,
here's
I'll give
the thing.
You that.
Now, I don't know the numbers, but I would imagine that just based on Penny Arcade's ability to reach people, that you probably have a bigger audience with Blamimations than a lot of your other comics projects, right?
Sure, sure.
So there might be a lot of people in the world that would call you an animator, even though you...
There's a lot of people that when they run into me in Seattle, they'll say, oh, you're the guy that does the Blamimations. They know me that first.
Right, right. So
sure,
so
sure.
Here's where I'm going, though, is that regardless of what you set out to do in life, regardless of what you call yourself, you are an animator.
No, I'm not. And I would never say that I am. I make content. I'm a micromedia company that makes content for the web. And these Flamimations are little flash animations. But if Animation Magazine wanted to do an article about me,
which they
I would, the first thing I, no, they won't. The first thing I would say is I am not an animator.
Okay, now pause button. At any time does the oatmeal guy refer to himself as a cartoonist, or was that a label that the reporter put on him?
There is,
In other words, if somebody from Animation Magazine came to you and wanted to do a story, asked you.
Let me see if I can find it. Because he talks about it. He's like, I look at what other cartoonists are doing and I'm upset.
All right. Well, okay.
Well, here's where I'm, here's where I was going with it. Brad's going down a similar path, but here's where I'm going with it. Is that regardless of what you or I would call animations, or regardless of what you or I would call comics, they are both big tent enough definitions where when the market looks at you and says, oh, he is an animator, oh, he is a cartoonist, it's no different than the market looking at Matt Inman and saying, oh, he is a cartoonist, which by the
way. I'm sure what I'm feeling is exactly the same thing that Wiley Miller felt when he saw the first PvP strip that was essentially, hey, have you seen Diablo 2? Have I? I own it. I'm soaking in it. And then that got a million hits, and he's like, fuck this kid. What is Diablo 2, and who cares? He didn't grow up reading the New Yorker, Mad Magazine.
Was the punchline, I'm soaking in it? That's pretty funny.
No. Oh. Okay. All right. So hold on a second. Let me read this to you. Okay. The web has allowed the flowering of a new approach. Many artists like Inman, article writer, regularly use language they couldn't possibly get away with in a daily newspaper, and not just four-letter words. The humor in the hugely popular webcomic XKCD, for instance, draws on math, language, relationships, computer programming. Sure, a niche. And many comics like Seattle's Penny Arcade cater to a certain demographic that loves the internet but shies away from print pages. Okay, of course, these are successful ones. As in every other field online, there's a sea of comic artists most laboring in sometimes deserved obscurity. Quote, unfortunately, with many online comics, it's clunker, clunker, clunker than a good one, says Patty Rice, Inman's editor at Andrews McMeel. They're just not consistent. Rice first came upon Inman's work when she saw 17 Things Worth Knowing About Your Cat. I bet that was a gem. Linked on someone's Twitter feed, she began browsing his site, finding comic after comic funny, so she printed a handful and showed them around the acquisitions board. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Yet even a cartoonist near the top of the heap, like Inman, still sees room for improvement. Quote, the past couple of months, I've become very frustrated with the visual style I use because it's very repetitive. He says, since Inman draws with a mouse, all the lines in his comics have the exact same width. In short, they look like they were drawn on a computer, not by hand. And while he thinks his comic will still be drawn on a computer 6 months from now, he may switch something like a tablet and a pen to make it look less robotic. This summer, he took a comic drawing class at the University of Washington. I look at other comic artists and I see all these things they do that I cannot do because I draw with a mouse. It lacks that human look to it.
Okay.
And then he says, I do envy Randall Monroe because his are all stick figures, so he gets to focus all his energy into the dialogue and not have to sit there trying to draw a raccoon trying to bite the wheels off a tractor. You know how long that takes? Tractors have lots of parts, and so do raccoons. This guy draws stick figures. No wonder he puts out a comic a day. Boo-hoo, Mr. Inman. I'm sorry to bother you with the cartooning part of your job as a cartoonist. You know how hard it is to draw a raccoon? No! It's not hard to draw a raccoon. Fucking draw it.
This is amazing.
It's hard to draw it if you are not an artist.
I love it when someone gets your goat. This is great.
It's hard to draw it if you're an SEO manipulator. It'd be like me saying, programming is hard. These numbers don't make any sense. I can't read this shit. Man, my life as a programmer is super hard. Douche. Do you know how many working parts there are to a tractor? Yeah, don't draw them. You don't have to recreate it one-on-one scale.
So let me.
I don't think he knows what a cartoonist is. Do you know how hard it is to draw a raccoon? Do you know how long the intestinal tract of a raccoon is?
So let me ask you.
Let me look at your Photoshop file. How many layers do you have? Well, I have one layer for every system. This layer is his nervous system. You don't have to recreate the whole raccoon. No wonder XKCD can get out a comic a day. He's just drawing stick figures. Randall Monroe's my new friend. Fuck this guy.
Well, okay, let's get to – let me ask a Freudian question here. This is for your id. Is the problem here that he's got a bigger audience and making more money doing something that you
Absolutely.
Despise being called a cartoon?
Absolutely. I hate his success. I'm sitting here struggling. My life is shit right now.
Not saying that.
Here in
Not
Seattle.
Saying that. Listen to what I'm asking, though. Is it because he's got a bigger – like, you're doing great. There's no argument.
Who doesn't have a bigger audience? My newest book, the cover I just made for my Best of PvP, says the freshest cuts from America's 14th most popular webcomic. There's lots of people who I think suck are doing better than me. I'm fine with my life.
So it's not that. So it's really something specific to the way he – it's really
No.
Stuff.
Look, I don't even begrudge him his success. I want to learn from it. I would love to sit and have coffee with him. It's just that I'm going to punch him in the face if he calls himself a cartoonist, because he's not. I worked really hard at this.
So, but when you say you worked really hard at this, it all comes down to the art for you. Is that what – because I want to
I don't know. I want to get to the crux of it, too. That's why I'm discussing it. I don't know why it bothers me right now. Right now, it's just an emotion. It's very much men are from Mars, women are from Venus. You're saying, I've come home from work, I'm your wife, and I'm like, my boss is being a real jerk. And you're like, well, honey, just go in tomorrow and tell him. And she's like, don't solve my problems. Just empathize with my feelings.
Oh, so you just want the listen phase. All right, I got you. All right, I'm listening.
I don't know. Listen. I read this article about this guy.
I love that you literally said listen. That's amazing.
I read this article at Seattle Weekly months ago about this guy, right? And they're just – I think another thing that bothers me is that when anyone – if I'm gonna be introspective about it, whenever anyone wants to talk to me about PvP, no one wants to talk about the strip. No one wants to talk about the art. No one wants to talk about the characters or my writing or what I think. All they want to talk about is how much money I'm making and how I skirted the syndicates and my business model. And it's starting to make me think that the only reason anyone gives a shit about PvP at all, outside of my fans, is that I've accomplished the impossible. You know, like I've bypassed the syndicates and look at him make a living. And wow, internet's on the web and he's making a living and he doesn't have a publisher. But no one is like, let's talk about PvP. Let's talk about how your characters have really grown and affected and, you know, really come to be known by, you know, your audience.
Right, your skills and as a cartoonist.
No one gives a shit.
Right.
And so I you know, I really care about that stuff. Like, that's more important to me than the fact that I've found a business model about it, you know, especially as I get older. So I'm reading this article about this guy, and it's like, here's a guy that started a company. And I think, I mean, look, I've got a hair up my ass about this stuff anyway. I've had people come to me and try to SEO optimize my site as well. And I don't think that's fair to my advertisers.
Let me see. Can I boil it down a little bit? Because I completely understand this. And by the way, I agree. Here's a guy who is
being...
What
the fuck are you busting my balls all night about? Why don't you say you agree?
No, here's the part. No. Here's the part that's making you upset, and I agree with this, and it is as follows. Here's a guy who is being touted as a prominent cartoonist who made $500,000 being a cartoonist, and 6 months ago he took a cartooning class at a local college.
More power to him. Even then, I say more power to him. If I went and saw his stuff and loved it, if I thought he had a unique worldview, if I thought he was telling stories with words and pictures, or conveying an idea or a thought that wasn't just contributing to the fucking static of the internet that I make fun of with Lolbat, and if he didn't start by doing something else completely, which was manipulating keywords and SEO marketing, I could do that too. Or no, I couldn't do that. Let me rephrase that. I apologize for that. That's bullshit. I couldn't do that. Nor do I have a desire to do it. He's found a way to do it, and it's great. And I'm not going to begrudge him that success. Mm-hmm. But I just – do you remember when I was telling the other day, Brad, that girl wrote me, that one web cartoonist wrote me because she has a comic called Girls in Games, and somehow she got discovered by the Something Awful forums, and they were just lambasting her.
Right.
And – her boyfriend got upset about it. She got upset about it. She was getting a ton of hate mail because she got noticed by a group of literal internet haters. That's their job. They just – Something Awful and 4chan is all about going nuts on people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going nuts on her. in the sense of, look how crappy this webcomic is. Because every webcomic is presented as, look at this professional thing. No one presents their webcomic as, I'm just learning. Please leave me alone. I'm practicing as I go. Everyone presents it as, look at my webcomic. Mm-hmm. And so she's getting torn apart. And I had said to you, maybe webcomics.com should create a badge or something that you can put on your site that says, learning as I go. You know, because like normally when before the internet, when you were working on comics and learning, the only person that saw that was your family and friends and maybe a syndicate editor if you had the balls to send it in.
Right.
So all your mistakes, all your learning curves was done privately. And then when you got good enough, people noticed you because then a bottleneck, you were good enough to get past a certain bottleneck, like a publisher.
Right.
Maybe your first comic got into a magazine because it was good enough to get into a shitty local magazine, but not a national one. And then you improved a little bit. Then you got into a national magazine. Then you got some prominence, and people are recognizing your art because they're seeing it in a bunch of magazines.
And all those little victories tided you over to the next victory.
Well, and all of those add up to making you a professional because how would you be in all these magazines otherwise? But now you can get a ton of exposure whether you're professional or not. You just put it out there, and it either gets passed around or it doesn't. But if you wanted to put it out there and just say, guys, just practicing. Do not judge this as a final product.
Right.
It would be neat to have some way to indicate that. And we discussed whether it was a good idea or not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like it wasn't fair to her for her to be judged yet. It's not. She's not offering it up to be judged. She's not saying, okay, here's my professional work now.
Right, right.
But imagine if that badge had the keyword webcomics in it. No, I'm just kidding. but in the same sense, like, I guess I'm being a little bit of an elitist. And, God, I'm going to get so much email about this, about how I've just become some old fuck. but, like, there's a difference between Wiley, maybe, and his influences and what led him to be a cartoonist. And Walt Kelly and those guys, even before Wiley. And then us, you know, us being influenced by Garfield and Bloom County. And now there's people being influenced by us. But we talk about it, that fire, that desire to be a cartoonist. We want to make those characters. We get compelled by it to, you know, you see brushstrokes and you see original art. You just go, oh, look at that. I want to examine the inking
look,
on
yeah.
it.
Look what he
know,
did.
Look what he right. did. And, oh, wow, that's how... That's what liquid paper looks like and on original art. And, you know, you just – or even when you see someone's Photoshop, you're like, what did you just do?
Right.
Oh, I did copy merge all layers. And you're like, what the fuck? That's going to save me so much time. And you really get into the craft. And that to me – and that is a personal definition. I'm not saying it should be the definition. But the personal definition to Scott, I'm like, that's a cartoonist.
Yeah.
Someone who really viscerally gets passionate about it. And when someone pops up, and it has nothing to do with him being successful or not, I think the success is great. I'd love to talk, pick his brain about that part, because I think I could incorporate part of that, that SEO stuff and the social networking stuff. But when someone like that is touted as a cartoonist, the snob in me gets offended, I guess. And I it makes compelling podcast radio to get pissy about it.
it does, and it's a good discussion to have. I'm not saying you're right, I'm wrong, or anything. I think you're.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna go find this guy and punch him in the nose.
Well, you know, sooner if he is that close to you, sooner or later you are. Do you know what he looks like?
Yeah, there's a picture of him. He's thin and good looking. The real reason I hate him.
Ah, interesting.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, sooner or later, I got a feeling you are going to run into him or he's going to run into you. And then I really want to have that podcast because that's going to be an interesting conversation, too.
Yes. Well, listen.
He'll be surrounded by his paid entourage, and you'll be like, dang it, I want to punch you.
let's just sum it up, and I will go ahead and sum it up so everyone knows I'm 100% aware of it. The point of this discussion is Scotty used to be big man in town. Now he's just the guy that used to be the big man in town. And here's the new big man in town. Scotty don't like.
No, you know what? I'm not even going to let you get away with that. I'll tell you why. I know self-deprecating humor is one of your strong suits, but let me put that another way. Scotty really, really loves comics. And if you're going to talk about comics, you better bring your A game or he's going to get upset. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter whether this writer had written the perfect story about what this guy does. It doesn't matter whether this guy really is a cartoonist or not. But there are certain things about it that people like us really love. And there's certain aspects of this thing that we really, really are protective and passionate about. Yeah. And so it's easy for us to – it's easy for other people who are outside of that realm to not understand why we get pissy over what might be just the difference of a couple of words because we love this on a different level. So
it's a new hobby of mine. Like I think in the same sense that I'm looking at this first volume of the autobiography of Mark Twain and going, oh, glass of wine, let me curl up with this. I cannot wait. I am getting nerd obsessive, otaku weeaboo about getting into like the history of comics and influences and all of that. Like,
Scotty, can I stop you for a second? I'm so sorry. Yeah. I've got a scoot, which I hugely apologize for. So keep going, but I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. We went over.
No. We love you. You guys keep going, and I'll talk to you again soon. So
We'll wrap it up.
Okay, cool.
All right. See you later, Davey.
Bye, guys.
Oh, well, I was talking to my brother, and I'm like, Fantagraphics is going to collect fucking all the Carl Barks. It's going to take 15 years to do it, and they're starting at, like, year 7, so they're starting with the good stuff. And Brian's like, who's Carl Barks? And I'm like, you monster. You know? If you don't know who Carl Barks or Walt Kelly is, do not talk to me about comics.
Right. And obviously you're talking about the new Walt Kelly Volume 1 that just came out that I saw not too long ago.
Is that out? Because every time I hit Amazon.
I just ran across it on Amazon last night. So I didn't notice. Well, you know what? It might have been a pre-order. All I know is I saw it on Amazon last night.
Yes.
But I totally – here's the deal. Reading a history book when I was a kid, forget about it. Nothing could be less interesting than history. But put a book in front of me like The 10-Cent Menace that talks about comics during the whole time. Oh, and I'm going to call it the Warren Commission. That's not right. Help me out. Where they were talking about how comics were, seduced by the Seduction of the Innocent.
What was
that commission that came out? During that whole time where
people were
organizing book burnings for comic books, and it was horrible for a kid to have a comic book and all this other stuff. And I will read that cover to cover in a heartbeat and get all of the history that got thrown into that. But since it was about comics, I can completely absorb all of it, or the Harvey Kurtzman biography, or the I'm looking at my bookcase right now, just going down the list,
I read that book on when Marvel almost went bankrupt with Perlmutter and all that stuff.
Oh, I got to get my hands on that.
A good book.
What's the title?
I don't remember.
I
can look it up.
I got to get it. But yeah, like stuff like that, I can just completely absorb. But if you told me, hey, read this history book about this period in the late 50s, early 60s, where it was the Red Menace and people were really scared about all this stuff. And there was all this other stuff. TV was an advent. Even that, I would have been like, nah, I don't want to read that.
Like if someone told me the book about the biography of John Adams is amazing and I can't bring myself to read it.
But if he would have been a cartoonist.
Hell yeah. But the thing is like, I remember who was I talking to? Someone young. But they were like, Peanuts, it's not very good. And I'm like, well, I want you to think about that a little bit. It seems very pedestrian, Peanuts, to someone your age, and even someone my age, because Charles Schulz introduced concepts that no one remembers he introduced anymore. Right. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, the kids talking like adults had never been done before Peanuts. A little kid talking like an adult had never been done.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's everywhere. I mean, The Simpsons, South Park, there aren't kids that don't talk like adults.
Right. It's impossible to find a kid that talks like a kid in popular culture because that was such an amazingly effective concept.
Yeah, a dog thinking and not talking but thinking it, to himself. I think he started that too.
It, absolutely. And
yeah.
The thing about it is that it we take it so for granted that
right.
he broke all that ground that so it's broke, easy to dismiss him.
Yeah, it seems like, well, this has been done a million times. Yeah, now. But now it's looped around to where you forget he started it. And they go, oh, I didn't know that. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't either. Someone told me at one point, and then, then it became important to me. But it makes me really passionate about learning that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I remember there was a time, because my first introduction to comics was late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I really got into comics in the Image era, that was 90s. And people were like, well, Jack Kirby, Jack Kirby, Jack Kirby. And I was embarrassed to say, who is Jack Kirby? Why is he so important?
Right.
You know, people talk about him all the time. Why is he so important? And then I finally asked one of the comic book shop guys, and he's like, look, you see this? And he holds his arm out, and I go, yeah. And he goes, he invented that. Like, comics looked like this before then. And it's all that bullshit stiff stuff.
Right.
But, like, Jack Kirby literally made comics dynamic. And I'm like, oh, that's why he's important. You know, and it's not bad that I didn't know it at the time, but then it made me think, what else don't I know about comics?
Well, yeah.
I'm kind of envious of Dave's degree.
Well, yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it's my living now. I should know as much about it as possible.
But the thing about it is that that's part of the passion that makes you and me a curmudgeon when it comes to these issues, because we really do love this on a different level.
I think if I met, and I should probably reach out and try to meet Matt Inman since he's here. I think if I go talk to him, he probably feels the same way. I bet he feels insecure about his work and wants to improve it too. But I mean, like I said, it's fun to get pissy about it for the podcast. Why are you laughing?
It made for a great conversation, but I'm thinking about 12 steps ahead to when you do meet him, and I can't wait for that podcast because I got a feeling it's going to be a lot of fun.
He will kill me
sooner or later. Say now, but sooner or later, I think you are going to meet him, and I'm just looking forward.
Maybe.
To that's all.
I'm sure he's a cool guy, and like I said, really fucking impressive what he's done. I would love to pick his brain about what he's done and how it works.
Absolutely.
I just in a brand new year of being unsatisfied creatively with my writing and wanting to improve it and all that, and really thinking about it and focusing on it, when everyone's like what an amazing cartoonist, I'm like, shut up. And then all it takes is one guy on the Daily Cartoonist responding with, how dare you? You are a son of a bitch. And I'm like, wow, who's this guy? And you look him up and he's nobody. And you're like, what? Now I'm going to argue for the sake of arguing.
Right. Well, that's exactly what happened to me in reverse. I don't think we recorded this part, but somebody had written the bunch of us, and we responded to him about attending a comic convention, and I was expecting that exact thing where I'm like, okay, I'm going to go look at this guy's site and he's going to be horrible. And then I'm going to, because I had a completely different response written out to the guy. Because what I want, it was like, I'm being invited to this convention, but I don't have any books to sell. What should I do? I think I'm going to go.
I agree with you. When I saw his work, I felt differently too. But it really felt like there's no way this man could have listened to any of our podcast and not known the answers to all these questions. It really felt like he was asking our permission. Like, we're going to look at this work and go set up. You're going to have a great time. It's going to be the best convention ever.
Well, I deleted this response. I was going to say, okay, let's say for the sake of argument that I say you should not go to this convention. That if you don't have anything to sell, you don't have any reason to be there, and that while you may be looking to hook up with peers, that doesn't mean that they're looking to meet up with you.
You'll meet like-minded individuals.
You might, but they might not be looking for you necessarily. In other words,
no.
You know what I'm saying? So why go and set up at the convention? If you want to go visit the convention, that's fine. And there's another thing. When a bunch of people set up an artist alley that don't have anything to do and don't have anything to sell and aren't very good, it brings down the entire convention. Nobody wants to be next to that guy.
Not only that, but it also breeds that, well, I guess it's the world and not our work that,
right.
that needs to change.
You wonder why webcomics has – but no, I'm going somewhere
can
with
I
it.
Say – no, go somewhere with it. But can I say that I've always been a snob in that sense? Like, I never wanted to be an artist alley because even when I was one of those losers, I was like, I'm not one of those losers.
Well, I get that, and it's like, you know, it's like have some sense of propriety. Don't show up if you don't have something to offer. And if you're just going to sit there and give away free sketches, you're not doing anybody any favors. But having said that, I went and I looked at his work, and his work was actually what I found it to be impressive. And I hit the delete button, and I'm like, all right, listen, you're going to do what you're going to do. Go have fun. Who's going to care? But if you've been a total scrub, I think I would have hit the send button and sent my original reply. And I'm not sure what that says. Maybe that makes me two-faced. I don't know. But I don't think it's
it's impossible for us to break free of our place in our life, right? You're stuck in it. So it's impossible for us to not give someone advice based on the last 13 years.
Right.
And it's hard. I guess that's why parents have a hard time too. But like when I was in his place, I would have said, yeah, go to the convention, meet people. But now I'm like, you're not going to meet anyone important. You're just going to meet a bunch of other guys like you that are kind of trying to make it. And best case scenario is you meet a neat friend who's super good at it and you guys lift each other up. But more than likely, you'll just meet a bunch of other people that are kind of stuck where you're stuck and you'll just feed into that. You're better off not doing it. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to escape.
Right. Well, and that's the problem that we're coming up against with this podcast is that some of the stuff that we said, a few years ago, we were at a different place in our lives. And now we're applying the experience that we've had since then and we're coming from the perspective that we're at now. And sometimes it doesn't line up exactly. And sometimes it's a more matured perspective on what's going on, and sometimes it's just a plain old different perspective.
What's
but
interesting
I, but
to
I will
me
say
about
this, and because I wanted to come back to this for the podcast, and this is probably as good a place as any. We had that conversation about all of the convention badges on my wall in my studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And I made the comment that one day I said, you know, Dave said, isn't it kind of sad? And I said, I was listening back to the podcast. My phrase was, you know what? I think if I could take down about half of those badges, I would. And I went through the mental exercise a few weeks ago, and I was looking at the badges, and there was a good number of them that I could take mentally off the wall and throw away, and it wouldn't have made any difference. And I'm mentally taking them off, and I come across one that is SPX 2002. I gotta go. SPX 2002, and I'm like, you know what? Throw it away. SPX is a good show. Everybody agrees, but for me, I never did well at that show. It isn't my show, and it's like I've never did well at SPX, and I'm sure I didn't make any real profit. I took a bath. Screw it. Take it off the wall, and I'm mentally taking it off the wall, and then I hit. Standing, waiting to go on to this panel discussion and meeting you for the first time. And it's like, wait a minute, that's where I met Scott. And you and I hadn't even become friends maybe for another year.
Frame it! So.
Well, I'm not prepared to do that yet, but it was like, no. And then I'm looking at some of these other ones and it's like, no, I did meet, you know, it maybe not even somebody that played an
SPX.
You and I met for the first time at SPX. We were on a panel together. I don't ask me how that happened. And you introduced me to Frank Cho. You and Cho were sitting together.
Oh, my God. That was the one SPX I went to. Yes.
And you were holding court. I remember it clear as a bell. And what was neat is you were talking to me like an equal, which you had no reason to be doing. You may have been drunk. And
sick, actually.
You might have been. But we sat on a panel, and I remember some of the topics we discussed. It was really kind of a neat weekend.
That was the panel that followed Evan Dorkin's panel where he just went up and was like,
Yes.
Everything is awful.
Yes. Yes.
And the question that one of the questions was, you know, why don't you have any black characters? And we started talking about, you know, some of the difficulties in trying to create somebody from a different race without being insensitive or being pandering. And it was actually one of the better panels that I've been on. But yeah. But then I started looking at some of the other ones that I had taken down, and I either met somebody that led to meeting someone else or led to somebody that led through maybe another kind of breakthrough. I don't know. I still think that you shouldn't go to a convention unless you plan on turning a profit or that you can show on paper where you've got a good chance of turning a profit. But at the same time, some of those other things that you can't put a price tag on were awful nice too.
Yeah.
Which puts me right back in the beginning. So now I don't know what to tell people.
Oh, well, you tell them this. They hear us being uncertain about it. I think that's all we can honestly offer them. I mean, look, in 5 years, we might look back and say, remember when we thought it was a bad idea to go to all these cons? Now we have a little more perspective and we realize that every one of those cons, whether we made a profit or not, was experience that we gained or a friend that we gained. And
yeah, but nobody
maybe it's not so bad.
Nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear that it's 1 + 2 = 3.
We've said from day one, Brad, that if you're looking for that, you're coming to the wrong place. There's a $25 PDF on sale right now. And if you want that,
is it down to $25?
It's down $25 now. It's a beginning of the new year sale. It's $25. Learn how to make cash, real easy. 1, 2, 3, go, and that's where I'll send you for that. But here is something different.
Yeah.
Well, if you want that free advice from people who haven't done Dick One, that's available as well.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Oh boy. We ready to go for hour two for this podcast?
No, but I tell you what, I'm afraid to post this.
maybe this one goes on the CD as the hidden track.
Jeez. Oof. Yikes.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. All right. I'm going to let you go.
All right, my friend.
Let's end this before it gets horrible.
Yes.
Webcomics Weekly. Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Oh, boy.